The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. I've had people that said, why haven't you written anything yet? Because what Robert did yesterday was just par for the course. Come on. Just how many years have we been doing this show where we've said, we've done the countdown clock of it's been 2,822 days, 12 hours, 11 minutes since the Suns had a playoff game. We've been saying for the last couple of years, Robert is going to use Vegas and Seattle as leverage. This yesterday and how everybody is becoming apoplectic about what Robert could move the Suns. Yeah, let me get a moving van and I'll find some people. I'll get a couple carts and I'll be happy to go down there and load up the moving van. Then there's the side of, well, the NBA Board of Governors and Jerry would never allow this and we're all knowing and there's nothing happening here. There's no story. Really? I mean, you're that set and not willing to look at the big picture. I even get texts of, do you think Jerry would be willing to jump back in on this thing? Robert has no reason to jump in with Jerry. I'm not going to take Robert's side on this. We are losing our minds over the NBA team potentially leaving the Valley today. Leave. All you have to do is one thing. Leave the name Suns behind. Then leave. I'm fine with this. I'm not going to sit here and put Robert's president of the team on the air to spew stuff like yesterday somebody sent me a note transcription of Robert's guy, Jason Rowley, saying things like, if Robert Sarver puts his mind to it to get things fixed, he's going to get to the bottom and get things fixed. Guys, you haven't made a playoff game. Just on the court, you haven't made a playoff game. I don't want to hear about, well, we're going to contribute to build a practice facility, and it's great. It's going to bring in revenue. Really? What, are you going to put kids' tournaments in there? I mean, seriously, you can put businesses in there all day long. But nobody wants to hear from you. This is completely different than the Diamondbacks. Mary Rose Wilcox got a shot in the butt by a guy during the whole tax, if we remember that. I remember getting threats on the air about in the parking lot about how can you support and take bread and milk off of our table. And it was a very small amount, but it was a small amount. It was amount of money that was being taken away from people. And that was, what would it be, 96, 95 when all that happened? Yeah, I'm fighting it today with this. So I wasn't yelling yesterday. I was laughing yesterday, to be honest with you. I was laughing like, okay, he finally pulled the Vegas-Seattle card out. I get it. He's smarter than I'll ever be. I don't think so. He's going to make a lot of money. He'll make more money. I don't know if I'll ever make more than him. I don't know that. But I don't judge somebody by where their decimal point is in their brightness. He's gotten over on people here. He has. There's people that work at Robert's Bank that swear that he's the greatest owner ever. I have a cordial relationship with him. He walked up to me once when I was in television and just said, how much money do you make? That's not really the nicest way to go about saying, I have a lot more than you do, when I was being critical of him. So my response was, my decimal point's not where yours is, and it's fine. I'm okay with that. I was sitting with Robert the day of the crash of the market, and he about had to just puke right there during the lunch. It was Al, myself, Robert, practice court, Suns Arena. He looks at his phone, and he said, I think I'm going to be sick, and he had to walk away. I've seen this guy from day one. The day he was hired, I asked the Suns, can I get an interview with him? They set it up. I canceled out. He didn't get the message. He wasn't happy with me that I didn't fly over to Del Mar. I think if I had to give Jerry truth serum, we all believe the answer, at least I do, the answer would be I wouldn't do it this way ever again. Jerry had no way of seeing that the franchise value would go up as much as it did. And I don't know where Jerry's finances were at that point in time because he had the Diamondbacks too. And his health. You know, there's some health stuff going on there. So when people say, can Jerry jump in and save this, why would Robert even give him the time of day? Robert's not somebody that will ever say, I screwed up. He won't. I mean, we had him on a couple summers ago, and he said, I was naive. I thought I could get some basketballs and some jerseys and roll them out. Anybody who's defending Robert Sarver today are simply people that get paid by Robert and are simply doing their job. That's it. When I hear that he's been miscast, no, he hasn't. This is the true deal here. You know, that whole ownership group just reeks of arrogance. I've heard around town that there's some of the ownership group that's been embarrassed to do this, but they've never done anything about it because their bank accounts are full of your money. Fans are going to pay to go see the product. Are they going to go charge sponsors? I was talking to a guy the other day who's in their sponsorship group. He said, I wish I could get out of it. I don't know what we're going to do. It's pretty simple. Somebody should pick up the phone down at 201 East Jefferson and say, you know what? We need to get together with you. Yeah, I'm letting it all fly today. I am. Because this really is not, this is the front end of something. This is not going to go away. If Lori Roberts was told, I have no reason to doubt Lori Roberts. I'm going to have Goody on later in the show. I'll ask him about his coworker, about threatening or intimating Seattle or Las Vegas. Not surprised by that. Go read Kent Summers today. Kent took him apart, as he should. Robert doesn't care. He's just, Robert's Teflon. I mean, he may call a TV guy in town. I've heard he's done that a couple times and chewed him out up one side and down another. I've heard he's canceled advertising with the Republic, the bank. I've heard all that stuff. There's really no reason to sit here and do hours and hours of analysis. I'm going to do some with Amin Alhassan. Amin is going to join us here in about 4 or 5 minutes. Amin was the assistant director of basketball ops with Steve Kerr back in the glory days. But this, I mean, if you're standing around the water cooler today saying, boy, do you think that the Suns should do this or the city council should do this? I don't know. Are you just really that caught up in sports to the point of you can't handle not having NBA basketball here for a few years? Because painful as it was for Seattle to lose, because there's still Brock's our friend, Brock Huard up there. And he's all excited about getting a hockey team. And they're going to get an NBA franchise at some point. And it's hurt to not have basketball in Seattle. In Houston, when they lost the Oilers and they moved to Nashville and then they had to sit around and wait for the Texans, life moved on. We can get by without having NBA here for a few years if it really got to that point. The NBA Board of Governors is not going to step in and strip Robert Sarver of his ownership. I've heard that one. And so when you go through all of this step by step, I'm not meaning just to dismiss all this stuff because I could fill hours and hours, but I've been doing that. And I finally have just said, this is what it is. This is only another step to show that unless you're on the payroll for the Suns, unless you're on the payroll, nobody can defend this guy. Nobody. Nobody. Because it's one thing after the next after the next. You know, in the NBA circles, Robert tried to hire Steve Nash to come here to coach last summer. I've heard that one over and over and over. And of course, Steve said no. It's not the right time. And I think Steve would be a better general manager. I think he's a Danny Ainge guy. But, you know, the team on the floor, I'm going to talk to Amin about that. We know what the record is. Now it's the off-the-floor stuff. And there's guys that played for this team that I wish could just say what they think. And because what's gone on here, it's just when you think it's reached a new low, it's even lower. When I talk to these guys, they're just like, I don't know what to say. I really don't. I came here to Phoenix, and my first gig was doing the Suns pre- and post-game show on radio. And it was doing the weekly show with Jerry Colangelo and Paul Westphal. And those are some of the most impactful years that I had being around an NBA brand that was so great. So my point of context is 1993, December of 93, when I got here. I wasn't here when Paxson hit the shot. I was here 6 months later. The Suns are the team in Phoenix. It's not the Cardinals. It's not the Diamondbacks. You guys may be fans of those two teams, and it's fine, but they're just not. So when we see this thing reach another new low and another new low and another new low, you just get to a point of we don't need to do days and days about Robert Sarver is not a good owner. And the other sports franchises, they're watching what's going on here too because they're going to want their building. You don't think the Diamondbacks are watching this? You don't think the Coyotes are watching this? We've said for a couple of years now, there's going to be an Armageddon with new facilities. Even Phoenix Rising's got to be watching this. Ray Anderson's got to be watching this. Opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that means life insurance. It means annuities. It means looking at your personal situation and say, where are we going here in life? We get really busy. It's the holiday season. I'm not going to talk about this or think about this now. Why not? Do you think for sure you're going to come home tonight? If something were to happen to you today, is everything handled? It's a very simple question. Not scaring or anything. It's very simple. So you go to Sagicor Now. That's what I'm about. Simplicity. Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most and do a Sagicor. Amin El Hassan, he joins us on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's go a little deeper now into the Suns, the showdown between the city and Robert Sarver, also what's going on the court, which once again, for the eighth straight year, has just been dreadful. The Suns' last playoff game is May 27th, 2010. We've said the last 3 years that the Suns are going to look at either Vegas or Seattle because that's Robert Sarver's MO. From my point of view, I wanted to have a national view on what's going on here as Phoenix delayed the $230 million Suns arena renovation vote. And Amin El Hassan's the best name for that. Former assistant director of basketball ops when he was here with Steve Kerr, of course, now with ESPN NBA Insider, co-host of The Jump. And it's always good to have Amin on the show with Brad Sussmat. How are you, Amin?
Well, relatively well. Doing better, I guess, than Robert Sarver is this week.
All right. So when you heard the news yesterday, because I'm sure you did, that Robert Sarver and the city, and he's hinting at Seattle and Vegas. What was your reaction?
Business as usual at 201 East Jefferson Street. This is the normal. And so, I mean, we can start with the vote, and I don't know if anyone could have felt confident that the Suns would walk away with funding, because you got to understand, you know, Phoenix is, first love in sports is the Phoenix Suns. I know it seems weird now with the, you know, how the Cardinals have really, despite the season they haven't had, but they've kind of taken a grasp of the city with the Super Bowl run a few years ago. But if you think about it, the thing that changed Phoenix from an outpost in the Old West to a modern American city was getting an NBA team. And so it's the longest tenured pro team in Phoenix. There was always a love affair between this city and the basketball team. And what's happened over the last almost decade has been an erosion of that love affair. And a lot of it has come at the hands of Robert Sarver. He's responsible for a lot of why the Suns are where they are right now. And so beyond his kind of poor decision-making, he also has a reputation as being impetuous and a little caustic at times. And all that amounts to you can't turn around and ask the city for money then, right? Wait, money for the thing that we love that you ruined and you're a jerk about it? Like, I don't know. Again, I don't know who felt confident the Suns were going to walk away with some money here.
Well, you know, I've seen this arena since it first opened, and it does need repair. I'm not going to say it doesn't. There needs to be some improvements. The Wi-Fi is not great. The plumbing's not what it should be. It's not very wide, and all that stuff put it off to the side. I guess, the timing of it doesn't surprise me. Him using Seattle and Vegas reportedly as leverage doesn't surprise me. None of this should really be shocking if people have been paying close attention to what's been going on out here from my view. Am I wrong on this?
No, it's all par for the course. This is There's no part of that story that was broken by the Arizona Republic that I said, no, that's unbelievable. I said, yep, that sounds pretty accurate. Now, I will say the building, when it opened, it was state of the art. Yep. It was ahead of its time. And to this day, when you go around, if you rank all the NBA arenas in terms of sight lines from any seat in the house, it's still top five to me, just from I sat in a chair to watch a basketball game aspect. Hmm. It is absolutely a tremendous viewing experience. The problem is the modern NBA experience, and particularly the modern NBA team's revenue generation, lies completely on the footprint of the building, right? These new arenas, it's not just they're bigger. Their concourses are wider. They have more options in terms of concessions and things, and high-level concessions to kind of like the old hot dog and beer guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And way more luxury suite seating, right? And so all of these things, I understand why the Suns would like a new building / a renovation to the current building. I'm not faulting them for wanting that. I'm just saying that, you know, it's kind of like if you're a kid and you've been bad all year, next week or in a couple weeks, you can't go to mom and dad like, so this is my Christmas list. $200-some-odd million to fix up this place. And, while we're at it, let's go into practices. So, no, it doesn't work like that. You were a jerk this whole time. You can't turn around and then demand money, basically. And then the cherry on top, like to basically solidify and confirm you are who you are, is to vaguely or not so vaguely throw out a threat that you're going to move the team. I mean, this is all the kind of in the playbook of, yeah, that's who he is. It's all in the scouting report, so to speak.
When you worked with them, did you ever hear anything about the arena being substandard or sense that this is going to go to a space where it is today?
When I was there, we had just completed a $100 million renovation, I want to say. This was in 2006, and that was what kind of put the LED band around, mm-hmm. and all, like some of the last major installation. Oh, the overhaul of the front, you know, where the corner of First Street and Jefferson.
Yep.
Do you remember? It used to be a very boxy cement design, and they got this new the Casino Arizona Pavilion with the glad and all that. But that was all part of the renovations when I was there. But again, like, there's a knowledge of knowing, you know, you look around the league, the oldest buildings are, you got Madison Square Garden, but obviously it's been renovated, $1 billion in renovations there. You've got Oracle Arena, which is, this is pretty much the last year it's in effect. And then it's
Utah. I think Utah.
The Delta Center.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, what used to be the Delta Center. It's Vivint Home Arena or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's gone on extensive renovation. And so everywhere you look, Sacramento has a new building. And Milwaukee has a new building. And Orlando has a fairly new building. And you look all over the league, you struggle to find a building that was opened in the 90s other than those two, Utah and Phoenix. And as we said, Utah just underwent a massive renovation itself a couple of years ago.
Talking with Amin Alhassan, ESPN NBA insider, co-host of The Jump. Great content. You want to check it out on ESPN. What do you think the reaction from the NBA Board of Governors was yesterday when this hit the press?
Well, I mean, again, it's not the first time a team has not gotten money or not gotten the answer it was looking for from the city council. But I think the angle of him threatening one of the council members if he didn't vote right, that allegedly him telling, insinuating that the team might find a better home somewhere else. I mean, that's the stuff that I think that's where the league is like, okay, you know, you don't want to get down this hole. In many ways, the NBA is still reeling from leaving Seattle and how bad that looked. Mm-hmm. And that one was legitimately a kind of a truly political animal. It had nothing to do with who was asking for the money. It had everything to do with the local city politics of Seattle at the time, where they had instituted sales taxes that helped pay for Safeco and helped pay for CenturyLink Field. you know, at some point, you know, there's an element of Seattle got tired of paying for billionaire stadiums, right? It didn't matter who the billionaire was. They didn't want to do it again, right? Phoenix is different, right? This isn't about billionaires asking for money. This is about that billionaire asking for money. And I think that's the that's the complication, I think, where I'm sure the commissioner's office will be pretty interested.
A couple other questions. I'll let you go. I appreciate your time. On the court, what do you make out of the team so far, other than the record is horrible? There's jokes over here that James Jones is trying to help Clutch Sports with Tyson Chandler and maybe Trevor Ariza. I mean, it's just gone beyond belief at 4-24. Maybe it hasn't, from your view. What's your thought on what you're seeing on the floor here?
Yeah, I didn't expect it to be this bad. But again, you can tell where where the need is, right? Where the gap is. And the idea is that no point guard and no real veteran leadership there, particularly from a point guard position. Those are things that complicate a young team getting better, right? It's hard to ask young guys to develop when they have no guidance from that standpoint.
Right.
So obviously the lack of a point guard has also contributed to Devin Booker playing out of position, and I don't think it would be unfair to make a correlation between Devin Booker getting hurt from him having to chase around point guards and play point guard. And so all of these things kind of are part and parcel. But here's the deal. This team is not a good team. Doesn't mean it can't be a good team in the future. But at some point, this is the test. Will the Suns have any measure of kind of patience to see through a plan, right? You hired a coach. You drafted a player. To give up on either of those within, 2 months of the start of the season would just be another continuation of business as usual at 201 East Jefferson Street. You can't stick with anything. You can't execute a plan. All you do is react and overreact to every little impulse. And that's always going to be the story of the Suns.
Last question, DeAndre Ayton, what do you make out of him so far? He had a public blow-up with Devin Booker. Igor called him out. What do you make out of DeAndre Ayton so far? I mean,
talent. There's talent. There's we see flashes of why he was number one overall. But, again, it's hard, particularly for a big man, it's hard to develop without a bona fide sword general out there. If you think about all the big bigs, Dwight Howard had Jameer Nelson early in his career. Amari Stoudemire had
Steve Nash.
Had Stephon Marbury and Steve Nash, yep, early in his career. And so, you look through all these different bigs throughout history. They all had, go back to Kareem. Kareem had Oscar early in his career. It really helps because when you think about it, for bigs, you don't get the ball a lot, right? Especially with a young team. Guys don't know we got to take care of the big fella. They're just going to keep running up and down and, basically not paying attention to him. And so it bleeds into this kind of selfish type of, well, as soon as I get the ball, I got to do something with it. And, and I feel like that's where Ayton is right now. He's just a little lost because he's got no guidance out there.
Let's go off that. As always, appreciate your time and insight. I could go on and on this subject. It's like Groundhog Day all over again, though. It's just crazy. Thanks, Amin.
Yeah, no problem.
Take it easy. There's Amin Al-Hassan with us. You can check him out on, of course, The Jump on ESPN. Of course, ESPN NBA Insider. He worked inside the building there, was with Steve Kerr as the assistant director of basketball operations for your Phoenix Suns. Back with more after this timeout. We are heading to Las Vegas once this show is done today, hence the outfit. We're going to be up there for the Vegas Bowl, and we will be doing quite a bit of content for the TV show while we're up there, and then also on the website and on our social media. I've not brought Eric in yet on the show today because it was just started going down that path, down the rabbit hole in the A segment, and then and Amin was great. What'd you make out of Robert yesterday and all this stuff?
Not surprising. He's going to take his ball and he's going to go where he wants with his ball. And he doesn't really care about the tradition. He doesn't care about the fans. He doesn't care about what he and the rest of the higher-ups have sort of ruined. Because it means, right? I mean, it's, and I think you would concur, Brad, like, Phoenix is a Suns town.
Yep.
It just is.
Yep.
Like, 7 seconds or less was a bigger deal than the Cardinals Super Bowl run. Like, that just
it's
is.
The way it
I
is.
I mean,
we had, the Cardinals don't want to hear that. They
but we had,
dispute
we,
you.
But we had, you know, we had 3 or 4 years where, like, these Suns games, when they were playing the Charlotte Bobcats or the worst team in the NBA,
yep.
I mean, it was like you could not miss a game.
No.
Like, it was, what are you doing tonight? I'm watching the Suns game,
yeah.
And then I'll figure out the rest of the night.
Now, some of that was before this. Some of that during the Suns' heyday was before this came along.
Not necessarily. I mean, 2007, 2008,
it
was just starting.
But you couldn't stream a game out on a boat on a Sunday afternoon if they were playing a, you know. That's my point.
But it was just such a big deal. It was like, if you were going to the Suns game, that was cool. Now it's like, oh, the Suns are on. Eh, maybe I'll clean the house and have the game on in the background.
No, it's like $6 for a ticket on StubHub.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to go see them play. But I'm trying to look at it from the perspective of what would people within the Suns organization say that we are all missing out here? Because I don't want to put any of them on the air. I don't. There's no reason to put Jason Rowley on the air. I heard some of his stuff yesterday, that, or at least people transcribed it, and it's just, it's mindless. You can't defend yourselves on this. Well, we're going to build this facility, this practice facility, and people should be really grateful for that. Excuse me, but who's really going to use that? And for what other things? Other than for basketball players to practice. And maybe some events down there. I mean, come on. Well, we have all these events that come into the building. Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. If the Suns flipped the script and said, we're going to pay $150 million. City, can you pay $50? There'd still be backlash, but there wouldn't be this. Or in my case, just like, you know, I'm not going to drop expletives on this show, even though I can, but that's just about where I'm at. It's just like, get the bleep out.
Like, a bunch of people that I talked to yesterday, just in conversations, not media members or anything, just friends that asked me about it. They basically said, if the Suns leave and if Sarver takes the organization somewhere, I mean, the NBA is not going to let Phoenix not have an NBA franchise. You just have to think, even if the Suns do leave, we're going to have NBA basketball here with the next 4 or 5 years. But I don't.
It would be fine. I'd be
fine
with
that. I don't
think
it's going to get that far, but
I would be fine with that. I mean, it really would be. The idea of Jerry pulling up and telling Robert to get out, he can't do that.
No. Yeah, like Robert owns the team, so it's,
yeah, this is his deal.
It's his deal.
It's funny, Eric, because I was talking to some people last night, and one of them had a sniff in the NBA, and I told him, I said, my first gig in San Diego was covering Donald Sterling. Not just a one-night thing, but I covered the Clippers when they were in San Diego and Donald Sterling was there. Robert's not Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling was a truly bad guy. Truly bad guy. I have not, in my interactions with Robert, found him to be a truly bad guy. I found him to be a truly bad owner. Like, the people that he brings in, it's a revolving door. He's had really good people there. And some of those people are watching right now, I think. And, you know, you guys did a great job when you were there, and they just crapped all over you. Just, you know, see you later. I see things that go on down there or talk to ushers when I'm down there. You want to get a true feel about people, talk to the employees that aren't on the front lines. The people that show up in the size with the ties and the preferred parking spots and the design suits and all that stuff, of course they're going to say Robert's great. What are they going to say? They have a gig. They have a family to feed. I mean, it's a thing in pro sports where there's so many of these ownership groups that aren't good. And I just don't think that Robert has any concept or any filter on what's going on here in Phoenix with him. And his team, that you are really, truly despised more than, he's despised more than Bill Bidwell was back in the day when I got here. And Michael's done a great job of turning that perception around. And there's still people that will say the last name is always going to be the same with the Bidwells. They're just not going to give him a shot. But if you were to put a truth serum in fans, I think between Bidwell and Sarver, just the last name. And if you're a Cardinal employee and you're watching this right now, I'm right. You know, I like where Michael has the organization now, but you come here in the mid-90s when I rolled in? You kidding me? And, you know, I feel bad for a guy like Jason Rowley, who's just nothing more than on Robert's payroll and has been with Robert's attorney and all this stuff for all these years. So, of course, he's going to be the guy that gets sent out there. Just like when Derek got sent out on the stadium. Derek went through the same thing. Ken sent him out there, and Craig Harris is sitting in the front row. That's a lot different than, you know, a beat writer. It's just, it's not going to fly, guys. It's just not. Oh, man. So I'm looking forward to going to Vegas and getting away from this nonsense.
Yeah, you have a feel for the game on Saturday? I really don't. I don't really know much about Fresno State.
You going to go see Vaquero? You're going.
I might try to see Vaquero.
I'm going to go over tomorrow and try to do something with him on camera.
Oh, nice.
Just drop in and do something for the show next week.
Cool. I always like to go over there and donate some money and grab a
meal. I'm wanting to go see the Chargers and Chiefs tonight in the sports book. Just go hang out tonight. It's a great game.
That's right. You'll be there in time.
I'll be there in time. It's a great game.
I'm going to watch some high school basketball tonight. So
where are you going?
Pinnacle Mesa.
What's the reason?
A little feature on Pinnacle.
Mesa has not been good since their coach Shane Bukar went up to Flagstaff.
Yes.
They've struggled.
Yes.
I shouldn't say they're not good.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really in my high school basketball mode yet. I'm working on a feature story. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I took in a Pinnacle practice yesterday and saw something that I'd never seen before. So that's...
What'd you see?
So...
You can talk about it?
Sure, I guess.
Do you have the video of it?
I don't.
Okay.
So Pinnacle was going through their... It's like a shuffle drill or something where it's like they want defensive intensity.
Okay, just so for full disclosure, Pinnacle has the number one player in the state, one of the best players in the nation, Nico Mannion.
Correct.
And was he practicing?
He was. Okay. And they have a bunch. They have like three or four other guys that are going to play in college.
Okay, so they're really good.
So, yeah, they lost to Mountain Point last week, but they're having a really good season. So, anyway, practice is kind of lackluster.
Yeah.
And Charlie Wilde, who's been there forever, great coach, good man, essentially kicked the entire team out of the gym. Not a player or two. He basically said, I need all of you off the floor immediately.
Awesome.
So that's sitting in this gym, and it's Wild and his two assistants. And then over on the far side, like I guess it was like the JV and varsity, or the JV and freshman team were like going through drills.
Yeah.
But they have this huge gym, and half of the gym is completely empty. And all the varsity players are out there in the hallway. And that's when I left.
They had no idea. They just got run. Charlie Wilde. Well,
he had been needling them to, you know, like push through. It's the middle of the week. We have a game. You know, you can't just show up and roll it out there and expect to beat some of these teams.
And they just lost to Mountain Point.
Yeah. So it was kind of funny. So
what's what we love doing the high school part or even the college part? Like, I, for some reason, really want to see how ASU does here in the next few days against Vanderbilt and Georgia. Because I'm already looking ahead to the Kansas game. Guys, a week from this Saturday, Kansas is coming here. And Kansas should be, they're number one in the nation right now. They should be number one in the nation. It's right there. If ASU loses both games at Georgia and Vandy, they're not the worst losses in the world. They win both games. ASU is going to be sitting around 10. I would say they're 20 right now. Those are two good programs on the road. And Bobby Hurley's getting some national attention. So the idea of they're this close to having a 1-v-10 game in Phoenix where Arizona State has never, not once, beaten a number one ranked team. That's electric. That would be just awesome. So I'm so into that. And, you know, GCU, we saw them last weekend, and GCU, I thought, put up a good fight against Nevada. U of A lost to Alabama. I'm sure Greg Byrne loved that. So college basketball season's starting to come into focus here for us. All right, goody at the movies and whatever else. I'm going to talk to him about Lori Roberts and her Robert Sarver moving the team to Seattle or Vegas threat, innuendo, whatever. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Not in sports. Well, not really, because Robert Sarver is still lurking out there, as is Lori Roberts on Seattle. in Las Vegas. But so I didn't bring on Goody at the Movies or whatever's on Bill's mind today. Lori Roberts, Robert Sarver, Lori Roberts, tell me about this alleged Vegas, Seattle, and she's getting put under the microscope on this, what he said, didn't say, to, and she found out about. What do you make out of this, Bill?
Well, you know, my inclination is to side with Lori, of course. I mean, that's something I don't think that's not something that you would really want to get wrong, of course. And I think that sometimes, and I don't, you know what, I don't know what was said. I can't, of course, I don't. I wasn't there.
Sure,
I didn't hear anything. But so I can't really speak to that. But I do know that sometimes people, particularly people who have not heard the word no in several years, sometimes they say things that they don't necessarily mean, or that they're just kind of thinking out loud, you know, and they're used to having people around them who, you know, so, oh, you know, whatever you say anyway, and well, now we'll go get your lunch or whatever. And sometimes but sometimes you say those things and people think, holy cow. and they end up in the press. And I don't know. I mean, I think it was certainly what people were talking about. And I was trying to have this conversation with somebody who has not lived here very long. And it's like, oh, the Suns leave, so what, or whatever. And it's like, you know, in the big scheme of things, sure, so what. But if you've lived here any length of time, it isn't so what, you know? I mean, and if they don't leave, it isn't so what. Because this is, we've talked about this before, but this just sort of brings it into focus. This was the proudest franchise in the Valley, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
this was, the Diamondbacks are the only one to win, you know, a world championship. And, the Cardinals, you know, they really are the Arizona Cardinals. They're not cast-offs from St. Louis or whatever. But the Suns, they're homegrown in a way that even the Diamondbacks weren't. I mean, they've been around. And they, at least to me, and, you know, and I'm a sports fan, and as big as any other. And it's sad to see what's going on. No matter what's going on, it's sad to see.
You have opinions on a lot of things, so I love talking with you. You are deep in a lot of areas. I covered Donald Sterling in San Diego, one of my first gets. Yeah, he was a bad guy. I don't think that Robert is a bad guy. He's just not a good. He's not a good owner. He's a bad owner. I think that's what he is. And I'm wondering if you've ever dealt with Sarver in the years that he's been here, or been in a space where it's like, what is this guy all about?
I have not, and I knew Colangelo fairly well. I used to have Colangelo's home number, man. I would call him all the time. And the thing I liked about Colangelo was that only one time did he ever not return my call in a prompt way, like within 15 minutes. And that was the day that they traded for Barkley. Mm. And I gave him a hard time about it later. He's like, well, I was a little busy. And I was like, yeah, I guess so. But, you know, I wonder about this. Like, people who own teams didn't get rich by owning teams. You know what I mean?
Right.
They made their money somewhere else. Jerry Jones, you know, now fancies himself a football man. And I guess in some respects he is. He's in the Hall of Fame. But he's an oil man, you know. And the thing that I wonder about, and I wonder about this with Sarver and all these other people, how much of their lives and their day and their brain does their team take up as opposed to what, you know, the rest of what they do to make money? I remember I was at the TV tour once when I was a TV critic, and Mark Cuban owned, you know, the HD network at the time. He started it, and he said, look, HD is the way to go. And everybody says, yeah, no, it's not. And he's like, nah, it is.
Yeah.
And you're going to have HD TVs. And it was interesting to me because I so associate him with the Dallas Mavericks. It was fascinating to me to see him stand up there and just be light years ahead of everybody else on something like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it fascinates me. And it's like, be good at what you're good at and hire somebody who's good at your toy.
Yeah. Well,
I wish somebody would give me something expensive to break sometime.
And in that regard, talking to Goody at the Movies, in that regard, I've tried to put myself in Robert's position or employees that are defending Robert today. And I get it. They have a paycheck that's got a lot of zeros on it. Robert's very loyal to some of his employees. The people that he's worked that work for him at banks have said nothing but great things about him as an owner. But I'm trying to understand how, in God's green earth, he could think that the timing of any of this is any good, or that people are going to shudder and say, "Oh my gosh, we can't allow them to leave. Just leave the name behind, and everything else is fine. I can be Seattle for a few years. I can be Houston without the Oilers for a few years. My life's going to go on." And you know what? This nonsense is not. Bill, it's been since April 27th, or May 27th, 2010, since we had a playoff game. May 27th, 2010, last day of a playoff game to now. Nothing's going to change with this guy.
And that was and the thing is, the thing that makes me in some ways sad, but in other ways mad, is the playoffs were a given.
Yeah, right.
The season didn't end in May, you know, or late April or whatever. I mean, you were dug in until, you know, until late May, if maybe June if you were lucky. And that's just the way it was. And it's just like the culture of it, it just, I don't know. You hear that it's in a lot of cities, that places have, you know, teams have gone into, the Redskins aren't any good. The Redskins can't sell out anymore after selling after 50 years or whatever.
Right.
But the thing with, like, my kids, they have no conception of what it was like here when the Suns were good.
Yeah.
And how important they were to the city and to the city's identity. And you think of how the city's grown since then, and how, you know, how we're much more in the minds nationally of people, and that, you know, we're not necessarily this outback anymore that people think of. Think what it would be like if we had a team like the Suns were then.
Well, here's the thing.
How much better would it be?
What's great about our state is we have Joe Arpaio. We have a wall, or we don't have a wall. And we have a kooky owner with the Suns. I mean, we always have something going on here in our little slice of heaven. Donald Trump with smoking gun rather than smoking gun. What do you have here, Bill, on this one?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, if it was a typo, he did it twice. And I think it was just... And people say, no, you have, like, predictive spelling on your phone, and if you make the mistake once, it's going to keep making it and all that sort of thing. I just feel like if I were the president, I'd check the text that I send my kids 10 times before I'm, you know, to try to, don't get me wrong, I once spelled in print the word shirt without the R.
That's awesome.
And nobody caught it.
That's awesome.
And so, but I make mistakes too. But I feel like if I was the president and I had 52 million followers or whatever it is, and it was the only way that I communicated to the world, I'd want to get it right. But one of the things in a more serious fashion that this does is, you know, people jump on that like it's the most important thing in the world. You know what? You don't have to pass a spelling test to be president. I mean, you can be, you know, I don't know. Maybe Andrew Jackson wasn't a great speller. I don't know. Who knows? But what you do need to be is careful and thoughtful. And I think that this is another one of those things where the media, myself included, kind of gets carried away with these little things. And it kind of takes your eye off the bigger picture. And I think that's dangerous. And I think that what it also did was it showed that his defenders will defend anything.
Yeah.
And I saw some conspiracy theorists saying, well, no, he meant to say smocking gun because he's mocking the media.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like there's better ways to mock the media than to, like, misspell words, but I don't
know. No, but to your point, it's the people that stand up in front and defend people. I get it. They're loyal. They get paid a lot of money and all that stuff. But, like, going back to how we started this with people, anybody defending Robert today is just out of their minds and gets a big check for Christmas. That's it. That's it. There's no other way to put it. I'll let you go off that. Stay well. Happy holidays.
Enjoy your Seattle Suns.
Yeah, you're right. See ya. There's goody at the movies and whatever else. You know, we're coming down to the end of the year, and I think this year, seeing the evolvement of Bill, how he's evolved. Bill has gone from talking about the Smurfs movie to having a change in leadership at the Republic, to where they've just put him full on, because he's so talented and gifted, on the political scene and on the TV front. And it's been great to hear him. He's still doing some movies, but it's far more interesting at times to talk about this. Devin Henry is our chairman of the board. He gets it done. He delivers. Eric Sorensen, as always, delivers. We're heading to Las Vegas. We will be doing content up there. Check out our website, sports360az.com. Our social media on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, at Sports360AZ.com, or Sports360AZ, I should say. And at Jordan Ham, or Jordy Ham, at Eric Sorensen, whatever. Everybody has their socials. Check them out. And our academic teams are out, too. Check that out on the website. Have yourself a great day.